This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
And I believe with all of my heart that it is a contributing factor to our juvenile delinquency of today. I 100% believe it. Why I believe that is because I know how it feels when you sing it. I know the lost position that you get into in the beat.
I'm Oliver Gray, and this is A Sonic Youth, your weekly half-hour guide into the great expanse of modern indie and alt-rock, with classic albums, new releases, and unearthed gems. And welcome back to Neo Psych November Part 2. This week, we'll look at some Neo Psych history and take a deep dive into one of its pioneering bands. Welcome to episode 212 of A Sonic Youth, and the second week of Neo Psych November. Last week we introed Neo Psych, and I played some of my favourite tracks from the genre, including some from that band you just heard. Opening this show was my favourite Neo Psych band, Psychic Ills, with a song named FBI. The next two shows will be about two sides of the genre. These two sides were elegantly defined in a quote from a Brian Howe review for Pitchfork of a Black Angels album, which I copy and pasted and saved. It reads as follows. Psych rock generally takes one of two paths to derangement. Intricate sensory overload, or brutally stripped and repetitive sensory deprivation. That's coming up soon, but this week, some history. Neo-psych, naturally, spawns from the legendary psychedelic rock explosion of the 60s. As, at least in the mainstream, the 70s saw psych rock morph into prog rock and metal, certain bands in the emerging new wave genre were considered to be acid punk bands. The likes of the Soft Boys, Chrome, Spaceman 3 and Devo were given this label.
I'm losing touch with my mind. I'm falling way behind. I'm walking down a one-way street. I'm trying to find my feet.
That was a taste of Spaceman 3's track Losing Touch With My Mind from their 1990 album Taking Drugs to Make Music to Take Drugs To. You can certainly hear the jingle jangle sound in that track. Soon, those bands, and a number of bands within the wider genre definition of New Wave, such as Susie and the Banshees and Echo and the Bunnymen, were being called neo-psychedelic. Within more alt-rock circles, the mid-80s Californian scene, known as the Paisley Underground, can really be considered a defining moment in the evolution of the neo-psych genre. Bands like the Dream Syndicate, the Rain Parade, and my personal favourites Green on Red, combine the sounds of Love and the Birds with the punk energy of the Velvet Underground, to create a sound which has often been compared to our Dunedin sound here in New Zealand. The Elephant Six Collective and its leading proponents Neutral Milk Hotel, Olivia Tremor Control, and The Apples in Stereo were also considered neo-psychedelic. And bands like The Flaming Lips and Spiritualized took a more grand and orchestral approach. Here's a taste of Spiritualized Shine a Light.
Thank you.
but it was really the mid to late 90s which saw the arrival of bands considered central to the indie rock based neo-psych genre that we are focusing on. And leading that charge was a young man named Anton Newcombe and his band the Brian Jonestown Massacre. Newcombe had a difficult childhood, being raised by a single mother as a result of an alcoholic and absent father, and the young Anton had run-ins with law enforcement in his teenage years. The escape was a relentless drive to create great music. Brian Jonestown Massacre, BJM, was a collective formed in the early 90s in San Francisco, and their early work was heavily inspired by the British shoegazers My Bloody Valentine and Ride, along with the dream pop of New Wave in the late 1980s. Like those bands, Newcombe has a talent for layering sound in his music, but as opposed to the layering of more and more guitar noise in My Bloody Valentine, BJM's sound is often marked by the layers of psychedelic keyboards and synths, or the iconic jingle jangle of the tambourine. Following their first few albums, the 60s psych influence started becoming more prominent, along with the country and blues sounds the revolving cast of musicians brought into the band's sound. BJM also brought in garage rock influences, and undeniably played a large role in kickstarting the garage revival in bands like this one, the Black Angels. That was the Black Angels, the awesome track Black Grease. Tracks like the jangly garage of That Girl Suicide from their debut album Methodrone contain the iconic bass line heard in so many garage revival bands, which is ultimately drawn from the Velvet Underground sound. Which brings me to the point that modern neo-psych is something darker than the 60s origins it draws from. The dreams of peace and love often sit in the shadows of the murky, drugged-out character and sound of the Velvet Underground and their disciples. But back to BJM. The band was relentlessly driven, at times. There's stories of them parking their tour van outside of studios until the owners would give in and let the group in to record. Another great story is when they opened for Oasis on that band's debut US tour. After playing one organised opening slot for them, BJM simply followed Oasis to the next tour stop and convinced the showrunner that they were meant to be opening that gig too. That's the same show where BJM almost broke up Oasis, after they played a terrible show as a result of mistakenly ingesting a bag of speed given to them by BJM after confusing it for cocaine. But this drive, and Anton's musical genius, was constantly contrasted by BJM's self-sabotage. Anton was obsessed with this desire to undermine and belittle the record industry, and the great battle of making it big versus being cool. The band, throughout their entire history, even recently, has been plagued with fighting, often resulting from Anton's overbearing attitude. There were ever-present drug issues too, with one studio worker describing having to dodge puddles of Anton's vomit while running cables. At one show, in the 90s, where a number of record bigwigs were in attendance to assess and possibly sign the next big alt-rock band to the hit parade, Anton, mid-set, lunged at the new guitarist. Several members pile on top of the sprawl, as the dazed tambourine-playing frontman Joel Guion stumbles around the stage. That clip, as shown in the movie Dig, has now become synonymous with the band, but almost needs to be shown alongside a great performance of a song like Anemone to truly understand them. There's also the story of them charging a wine cellar's worth of wine to the room service their record label was covering. But through all this self-sabotage, through 34 band members, and through years of substance abuse, BJM made brilliant music. Music that shaped the burgeoning neo-psych genre. Their sound, with the bluesy guitar, the drone, the tambourine jangle, and their drawn-out, often largely instrumental arrangements, can be heard in all corners of the modern neo-psych genre, a genre which they, of course, still contribute massively to. Here's one of their greatest and most underrated tracks, which really displays the band's guitar talent. It's an example of the more shoegaze-aligned side of BJM's sound. Here's a live take of Swallowtail.
The song is called Swallowtail.
Brian Jonestown Massacre with the beautiful track Swallowtail. Next is an example of the layering of sounds and melding of genres core to BJM's sound. This track has garage rock sounds and its loud and raw drum track and the presence of the bass in the mix. Then there's that jangle from the guitar lead and very shoegaze inspired vocals. From the 2019 self-titled record, here's Tombu Blies, which translates as Forgotten Graves.
Oh,
Finally, here's a BJM track which brings in some blues and folk rock influences. The 2001 track Open Heart Surgery was recorded during one of the most tumultuous times of the band's history, and you can hear the pain in Newcomb's voice. That was the Brian Jonestown Massacre with Open Heart Surgery. Next week on Neo Psych November, we delve into the intricate sensory overload side of the genre. But to see us off and to complete our very selective history of Neo Psych, which will be filled in over the next few shows, here's an example of the future. It's Neo Psych brought into the modern indie mainstream. Angus Stone's project Dope Lemon combines indie rock and surf rock with Neo Psych styling heavily reminiscent of BJM. He's had huge success with it. His first Dope Lemon album, 2016's Honeybones, is by far the most psychedelic, and a track like this one, Best Girl, clearly has the jingle jangle of BJM and their contemporaries. Thanks for listening to A Sonic Youth. This show is made with support from Free FM, Hamilton's access media station, and New Zealand On Air. For more of the greatest indie and alt rock, check out the back catalogue and future shows on Apple Podcasts and freefm.org.nz. And give me a follow on Facebook and Insta at A Sonic Youth Podcast. Remember to support the artists you love, and I'll see you next week.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.